At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The Dallas City Council will vote at the end of the month on regulations for dockless bike share companies. City staff laid out the proposed ordinance at a council briefing yesterday. If passed, bike share companies would have to pay for a permit, provide ridership data to the city, and limit where bikes can be parked, among other things. Five bike share companies currently operate about 13,000 bikes in Dallas. That's down from a high of 20,000 earlier this year when residents complained there were too many bikes blocking rights of way. Texas pays $17 billion a year to private companies to handle care for Medicaid recipients, but a Dallas Morning News investigation found those companies skipped on services for the most vulnerable patients and made a profit. Reporter David McSwain spoke with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
The state had actually started and nearly completed a study that would have shown that this is a pervasive and really a terrifying problem. But just as they had the sample they needed to figure out how many disabled adults weren't receiving things like home nursing, dementia patients weren't, they didn't have anybody around to help them know when to take their medications or go to the doctors, things like that, they chose not to run their own data. And that made it look like the problem was not nearly as bad as we found it was.
McSwain said the study didn't include foster children, though he found dozens were denied certain services. His investigation also found top health officials are not listening to health reports, not following up on cases, or not penalizing companies when they fail to deliver care. The Insurance Council of Texas says yesterday's storms over the Dallas-Fort Worth area caused about $425 million in insured losses. Mark Hanna with the council said the storms damaged an estimated 20,000 structures and 25,000 vehicles. Amid high winds and heavy rains, baseball-sized hailstones smashed windshields, skylights, and windows, but no one was reported hurt. The movie industry is under pressure from the public and from within to become a more inclusive place. Our big screen team spoke in New York City with the head of the Motion Picture Association of America's Diversity and Inclusion Initiative about making movies that tell everyone's story.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And today our guest is John Gibson, who is the Senior Director of Diversity and Inclusion and the Deputy Chief of Staff of the MPAA. John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me.
So we're here at this huge publishing event, book publishing event. We're talking about movies. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what brings you here?
Yeah, I've been joking that every librarian that I've ever had would be like, really, you're at a book convention? But, you know, storytellers. I mean, you know, authors are storytellers. And that's what the industry fights for, getting those stories. I believe that we as a society, we benefit when everyone's story is told in one way or another because we can all connect.
So as we introduced you, you are the Senior Director of Diversity and Inclusion. How would you describe that role at the MPAA?
The industry has an issue with this. It's nothing that no one has been quiet about, an issue with proper representation and inclusion of folks. You know, our former chairman and CEO actually tasked me with creating a program back in January 2012. Prior to that, the MPAA didn't have an inclusion programming apparatus, if you will. And so, you know, one of the things I wanted to do was, again, look and see what organizations were out there operating in this space. How could we support it? We knew that our studios were all committed to this. They all have programming around it. But as we say, they're great storytellers. They don't tell their own stories effectively. It's like who really kind of wants to go around tooting their own horn? So we, as their arm, as their, you know, their representative, we are looking at ways, again, let the masses know that, again, they're all committed to this. Let's tell you exactly how they're doing it.
As you're saying, inclusion is certainly an issue with Hollywood right now. Do you see that situation improving in the last, say, few years and going forward even?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the level of program, and we're not even close to where we should be, but you can clearly see in the recent releases of films, you can see what the films that are hitting the slate for the rest of the remainder of this year and for the next couple of years. I mean, if you look at television programming, it's just an abundance of, you know, representation. But we still have a long way to go. I think, you know, looking at the Latino community, the Latinx community, there's so much more that the industry has to do because their numbers support all types of projects, but they're desperately wanting to see themselves reflected.
At this year's Oscars, there was some talk about championing inclusion writers. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what those are and if you think that that's part of the solution to this idea.
You have talent at a certain level who, when negotiating their contracts, can put a stipulation that a percentage of the below-the-line workers on a project has to be representative of the country, has to be diverse, has to be inclusive. I think when you start diversifying more directors, people of color and women, those in the LGBTQIA space, and you start having more diverse executive producers, that will also ultimately filter down because these are the folks who are, you know, I look at the director as like a CEO of a company. He's the CEO of that set. He or she can pick and choose the department heads and then the department heads. So I think when you start seeing more inclusion and multiculturalism at those two levels, I think we will really start seeing this reflected everywhere.
Is part of your message to folks that inclusion is actually good for business? Because I feel like, you know, just in the last year, we had obviously Get Out and Girls Trip were huge money makers. Black Panther was a big
Coco.
Money
Let me
maker.
Look at what Coco did. Yeah. You know. Look at what the Fast and Furious has done for Universal. It was like the installment previous to last year was their first billion-dollar film. And then I think the industry was like, that's it. That's where we want to go. People, they respond when they can see themselves. Because if they can see it, then they can dream it and they can believe that they can become it.
John Gibson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
That was our big screen team, Chris Wagner and Stephen Becker. And the forecast, partly sunny skies, a high around 94, but there's also a 20% chance of rain today, overnight low 77, tomorrow's high 95, but again with a 20% chance of rain. 80 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth, 78 in Wichita Falls, 74 in Tyler.